Wonderful time being together. Last week it was kind of hard, you know, not to come to church and to be with you all to worship our Father in heaven together and to be able to see what He has for us. But sometimes He gives us those special moments just to kind of think a little bit more too, how precious it is just to be able to gather together, right, in His name. Some places they really can't gather together like we do so freely. And last week, I don't know about you, last Sunday, I was just kind of like, ugh. You know, without it, my whole body was thrown out of whack. I felt like I could have just slept all day. So I don't know about you, how you manage, but that's how I felt. I had a special little present from Nolan. Nolan King gave me something a little, not my Nolan, but and Matt and Tiffany's Nolan. He says, "Thank you for helping me grow in my faith. May the Lord be with you." You know, what a blessing. You know, what a blessing that is. You know, that's, our hearts have to be soft and that hunger for the Word and to grow in it. And we can't do it ourselves. I mean, we can form habits and stuff like that, but until we open our hearts, you know, and I think it was Sam or somebody was saying that, you know, if the Word, we can read our Bibles and have devotions, all that stuff, but if it's not living in us, it's just echoing, you know, in a hollow chamber. So, you know, today we're talking about our Father in heaven. We're going to actually, these next several weeks, we're going to be in the Lord's Prayer because I think it's so critical. Randy was mentioning this morning, you know, it's critical for the church. Prayer is critical. It is the powerhouse of the church. Without it, I mean, we can have the beautiful buildings and all the programs and all that stuff, but it's empty because really, what it comes down to is the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit's power showing us a way and moving people and bringing people to salvation decisions, you know, it's just empty. So we're going to be in Matthew. You know, we were in Luke, but Luke has another version of the Lord's Prayer, but I want to go to the fuller one. That's why we are in Matthew today, as well, to look at that a little bit closer. So how to pray. You know, a lot of people say, you know, the disciples in Luke, they saw Jesus' life, right? They saw Him speaking with authority, teaching with authority. His life had authority all written all over it. And all the things happening, the powerful things that were happening, the healings, people being raised from the dead, all these things were happening. And they said, wow. And we notice one thing about Him. He's just human like us, but there's something more to Him because He goes off on His own. What is He doing there? Well, He says, you know, they find out He's praying. He's talking with His Father. And then one day it finally clicked in their hearts. I want that. I want that. Teach us how to pray, Lord. And on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Jesus was given, you know, teaching the people, teaching His disciples and the listeners there about many different things, how to live life in God's kingdom and how He desires to see His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, right? But, you know, so He just gave them that Lord's Prayer, the fuller one. And people say, well, I got to pray that word for word, but not really. It's just a pattern. He's just showing us how to pray and how important that is. I don't know about you, but how-tos, you know, sometimes you get into a thing like, I don't know how to do this, you know. Like I was, you know, even fixing computer at times, I remember Joy would Google it, you know, or go on YouTube, and we're going, how do you get out of this? You know, something's wrong. We can't get in. Something's not quite right. We couldn't get into her email, or I forget what it was. But she found some answers on that, how-to. And we were able to work through that. And actually succeeded. And sometimes it doesn't, right? You go on Google or YouTube and you try to figure out, you know, find a how-to, you know, and it doesn't always come out the way you like it to come out. But we're going to be looking at how to pray. And we're going to be looking at that for the next several weeks as well. Let's pray before we go on. Father God, again, we come before You. Who else? Who do we have in heaven but You? And what do we desire on earth? We don't desire anything besides you. So we thank you for this time together, that we can come together with you. And may you speak to our heart of hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit and teach us how to pray and how powerful it is. Bless these words. May you receive all the glory and honor in it. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So last time we saw you, which seems like a year ago, right? The last time we talked about catching this wind. Now the wind is described, one way to describe the Holy Spirit, right? That's the Spirit of God. He's the one that gets things moving, right? And, you know, when you're praying, it's kind of like you're opening the sails. Your heart becomes like a sail, you know, the prayers. And the Holy Spirit, it just catches the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you're going to catch the Holy Spirit. It's through prayer, just calling upon his name, you know, and just boom, he just moves you, and he can move you, and he can move things, and he can do incredible things. You know, people have come to Christ because of this. I have come to Christ because my mom prayed for me. You know, her sails were out, caught the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, by God's grace and mercy, saved me. A guy who is enjoying life in Southern California, doing this and that and everything else. But I knew something was missing. I was in the doldrums. See, I had no power in my life. But when God brought the Holy Spirit in my life, my heart filled up with that wind. You know, my sail started to come out. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what was going on. But God moved me. Move me places I never thought he'd move me before and do things I never thought he'd do. Well, when we talk about our Father, a lot of people, you know, if you go around the world or go into the big cities where it's a big metropolis and lots of people from different religions and ethnicities and countries, and, you know, when you look at, you know, Buddhism, Islam, all these other ones, you were taught, and we say, well, who's your Father? And, you know, there'd be a lot of disagreements about religion, okay? You know, what you're supposed to do, you know, the do's and don'ts that they always have, right? The rules that they have. You have to do it this way, you have to do it that way. This is what you do, you know. And then, but everybody would agree to this one point. Everyone is a child of God. They would say that. I remember Buddhists, you know, in Thailand, you know, we'd be talking and they say, yeah, but we're all God's children. There's... we all get to heaven when we're good. And in some ways they are right. And we are, you know, we're all God's children in the sense that we are all, everyone was created in an image of God. Everyone. Every human being on this earth, from Adam and Eve until now, the millions and billions of people are made in the image of God. Yes. And that way you can say yes. But then that's where the similarities end. Because really, to be a child of God, to be able to call him our Father, takes this. John, describes it pretty well. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, they're talking about Jesus' name, right? He gave the right to become children of God. And we'll talk more about that right and authority and all that. That's coming up. But we're just staying with this being children. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So remember Nicodemus in John 3 talking to you, how's this done? Jesus says, well, you have to be born again. He's going, what? How can I be born again? Well, by receiving Jesus, by believing in him, calling upon his name. That's where you are born again. Born not of natural ways or human decision or in a husband's will, but born of God. So when you are a follower of Christ, you committed yourself to him as your Lord and Savior, you can call him your Father and know that. It's a special privilege, right? I mean, Galatians, talk a little bit more. It says, because you are sons, and we can say daughters as well, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And when you say Abba, Father, what you're really saying is that I got such a good relationship with you, Father. I know who you are more and more. There's a relationship there that you can say, Daddy, Papa, and speak with him just like you would your dad, your mom. Special privilege he gives us. And then, so we understand a little bit more, you know, about our Father. Now, before we go on to this, you know, and when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees and other teachers of the law, they're saying, well, Abraham's our father. God's our father. And Jesus says, no, you know who your father is. And if you read this in John 8, he says, your father is the devil. You know, he's the father of lies. Because look at your lives. You have murder on your hearts. Abraham did not have murder on his heart. So he's saying, you're following your father, and it's certainly not my father, because it's totally different from what he does and how he lives and who he is. And so there is confusion even back then, who my father is, right? The Jews still are confused today who their father is. A lot of people say, well, Islam and Christianity all have the same father, the same God. But when you really look at it, go, no, they might say there's one God, but they don't have this relationship with the Father like Christians do. It's a relationship. It's not the rules and do and all that stuff. You can throw all that out, and you can just, by faith, we are saved, right? And then we're starting to say, well, who is this Father in heaven? You know, he's in heaven. He's a Father, but in heaven. Well, then you start going into Isaiah, and this catches it pretty well. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's an almighty God, right? Some people say they use the word transcendent, you know, and I say, well, what's transcendent? I go, that's kind of a funny word. I kind of know it, but I had to look it up, you know, to exist above and independent from, to rise above, surpass, exceed. So when you're talking about transcendence of God, he cannot be affected by creation, because he's the one who created creation. And if it's ex nihilo, that means out of nothing. So when he spoke, there was nothing. He existed before creation, right? There's no other way to explain it. There is no time. He is out of time. He's the one that created time when he spoke. Boom. And they say it's a big bang. Well, maybe that was just his word going, be there, be light. I don't know. But all I know is that he created all things. And he is above. He's unchangeable. Time does not have anything to do with him other than how he moves in and out, past, present, future. So he is above, you know. And so you say, well, he created all things in heaven and earth, yet he exists above and independent of them. He is everywhere. God is beyond our grasp to understand, yet he continually seeks to reveal himself to creation. So he created. And he is, we cannot really grasp. Have you ever thought about eternity? I know that some people, I was watching a little video about creation and about our universe. And they are going, oh, they're going further. You know, they started with somebody laying on a beach in Italy, And they start pulling back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds each time, you know, multiplying exponentially until you, of course, can't even see the Earth hardly anymore, you know, to way out. And they start going out into the other galaxies and things like that of the universe. And then they just show a little circle, you know, or an oval or whatever it was. You know, God, there's no ending. You know, you can say, okay, you can draw a little oval and say, there's the universe. But when you draw a little oval, there's something beyond that, right? For us, it is impossible for us to grasp God completely. But there will be a day when we will see Him face to face. And you know what? That God is that who is transcendent and so awesome and so powerful. You know what He did in Christmas? Remember what we celebrated? He loves us so much. Little specks on earth. A little earth amongst a huge universe, an endless universe. And He sends His Son out of love to rescue us. Because we are in trouble. Transcendent, beyond understanding. Can't compare Him to anything. But yet His love is so precious, so powerful, so wonderful. And He knows the details, the little protons and everything about us, the whole universe. He spoke it into existence. So He's big, and He understands the small details, and He loves so powerfully and wonderfully. Our Father, I mean, I'm just throwing these up. You can write them down if you want there. Our God and Father of all, who is over all, I forgot another L, all and through all, and oh, I skipped an L. Through all and all. He's everywhere, right? A Father of the fatherless, a defender of widows. Remember we're singing, you know, singing that song, He's our defender. Yes. And this is just a little bit about God. I'd be here for eternity. Okay? You know, every perfect, good and perfect gift comes from, boy, I'm making a lot of spelling mistakes, aren't I? Every food and perfect gift, every good and perfect gift. Yeah, now I'm starting to, I think I was probably lunchtime, dinner time, something like pizza, that's what it was. Coming down from heavenly lights, you know. He does not change like shifting shadows. Our Father is compassionate to all of us. He cares about us, ordinary people. And you know what? He even teaches us and guides us and disciplines us. And some people say, oh, I don't like it. But you know what? It's for our own good. And He knows that. He's our Father. He's our Father who really does care about us. So don't forget that, you know. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement? Don't think of it as something like it's bad punishment. No, it's encouraging. Know that He actually cares for us and will correct our ways. Thank you, Father, for that. So then a lot of people, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, there's you know, when I was starting off and following Christ, you know, I went to a church and they were really good people. And we had a little small group. And, you know, we would pray. People pray out loud in that group. And I was always going, oh, man, I don't even know how to talk to God and stuff like that. But they kept on saying, John, you pray. And I tell you, I felt sweat coming down. Don't like in Thailand where we're trying to pray in Thai, you know, just sweat just breaking out like a volcano of lava coming down. Just every word you're going, something so weird because you're talking to somebody that's not there. How do you talk to God and He's not there? How do you talk to somebody and they're not responding? Well, I talked a lot. Teenagers are kind of like that. A lot of people I've taught over the years, they sit there and go, huh? And crickets, as we were saying earlier today, there's crickets going on. Yeah. Yeah, so we know how. You call somebody on the phone. You don't see them. Oh, you might hear them. Okay? After a while, as you start talking to God, you'll start hearing him. Oh, I know a lot of times I hear his voice, and I just go, nope, I'm going to do this. I put myself up there, and I don't know about you, but I hear him. I hear him saying, this is the time for this. This is what your heart is yearning for. But then I usually go, oh, no, I'll do that a little bit later. But prayer is really, it's talking from your heart. And yeah, you can pray silently, yeah. And you can pray out loud, yeah. You can do that. You open your heart, just like that sail. Think of a sail just opening up. And do you remember Peter, when he went out and started walking on the water, and he started sinking, you know what his prayer was? Lord, save me! He had a quick prayer. You could have a quick prayer too, you know that. You know, Jesus was teaching, you know, don't be like these other guys babbling on and on, or don't make a show of your prayers. You're talking with your Father, Abba. Abba, Father. You could be, hey, Lord, save me! Or it could be like David, his heart. Have you ever read those Psalms of David? Can you feel the heart just pouring out, the tears? Just crying out to God? Yes, that's prayer. Focused attention, you know, yeah. That's an important part. When you're phoning somebody, a lot of times you're not thinking or reading another word, you know, some of you might be, I guess. But usually you're focused your attention on that conversation, right? Your heart is there. You're there. You're in the moment with that person. That's prayer. Be in the moment with God. You know, there's a lot of challenges, you know. Even some people say, well, just start with 3 minutes a day or something. Be quiet before God. Just listen to him. Don't even say anything. Just listen to him. Let him speak. And then you speak in response. Let him initiate. You know, that's something I'm still learning, okay? But it's something, that relationship, because he will speak. He will fill our sails with the Holy Spirit. You know, with belief, you know, if you look at James talking about, you know, if you pray and you don't believe, well, you're not going to receive. See, you're double-minded. You're double-minded. So when you pray and when you're talking to God, believe. Believe what you're asking for. Sometimes it's just prayer of praise, thanksgiving. Sometimes you're not even asking for anything. That's fine. And sometimes you are. Sometimes you're not even asking for yourself. Sometimes you're asking for a friend or family member or somebody around you. Yes, that's fine. That's part of prayer. And tune with Father's heart. You know, it's just in James 4 talking about, you know, yeah, pray. Don't doubt. You know, pray. His will. He says, well, you don't have because you don't ask. You don't have because you do not ask. You do this and that. You go look through. You go to the how-tos of YouTube and Google, and you go to these books of philosophy, and you do this and that, and you look at this person, that person, listen to that. But you don't ask God, the Father who created all things. And remember the scriptures, how good of a Father he is. He knows exactly what good things to give us. So the challenge, ooh, scary. I was thinking, what's a good challenge for us? You know, because I know some people praying out loud is a challenge. I tell you, it was a challenge for me. I got used to it. But I tell you something why I'm getting at you with this, and myself too. I pray with, so this week, this is a challenge for each one of us. This week, you should pray for someone or with someone or both. Out loud at least one time a day, at least. Find somebody to pray with, pray for. I know, you know, Nolan Kim, you know, we pray blessings. Joy and I are able to come together at times and pray. And then I ask, you know, time pray. Sometimes I'm in here all by myself and I'm just praying for each one of you and your families. Out loud. You know, there's a reason why they say out loud. And I'm going to give you one right here. This is a great one. Oops, I went backwards. Paul and Silas were in prison. They were praying and singing hymns of God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. So they weren't just silent, but they were praising God, singing hymns unto Him, glorifying Him. And their others are listening. And what happens? Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And look, what happened next? At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. I still remember Jesus' words when, and back there in Capernaum when he was in synagogue and he opened the scroll of Isaiah in 62. You know, I came to proclaim freedom for the captives. See, when you speak the Word of God, when you pray the Word of God out loud, the enemy wants to shut us up in the first place. He's muzzled the church pretty well over the centuries. He's muzzled it because we're going to talk more as the weeks go on about that. But he wants us to be shut up. He wants us to be quiet. Because when you're praying the Word of God, when you're praying out to God and singing hymns, when you're praising Him and thanking Him, there is power in the heavenlies we cannot see, but there's power in the heavenlies that will shake them, just like those prison doors in that foundation. And where people will be set free, the chains that they're living in now will drop off. And the prison doors will be open. They'll be able to get out of that stinking darkness and get out there into the light of Christ. But it's only by spoken words. And they could be simple as, Lord, save me. He gives us this Lord's Prayer just as a pattern. It can look different in some ways. You know, you don't have to follow every word, but it's just a pattern for us to remember, you know, to praise Him, to praise His name. Right? And to just ask Him to do wonderful things in our lives that He does in heaven, you know, things like that. You know, give us the things that we need today. You know, we'll talk about that, all that forgiveness, and you know, keep us from, you know, falling into temptation, and His kingdom is awesome. Speak it. Pray over your children. Pray over your children. Pray over your friends, co-workers. Can I pray for you? I tell you something, there's not too many people to say no. When you ask, can I pray for you? Most people will say yes, please. And pray. And it doesn't have to be, you know, follow the Holy Spirit. Put out your sails. Catch the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and He'll move your prayer. Allow Him to speak through you. He'll give you the words. The earth will be shaken. People will be set free. Are you ready for that? Do you want to set people free in your family? I already know there's several family members that aren't walking with Christ in here. Friends, neighbors, co-workers, classmates. We've got to catch the wind. Put out the sail. Pray for them. And watch God shake it up, drop people out. Let's pray. Father, yes, You have chosen us. You certainly could choose somebody else or do it some other way, but You have chosen the church to be the instrument of spreading the good news, of praying, of being Your representative on earth. As Jesus was. Empower us by Your Holy Spirit, Father. Give us those words. Help us to speak Your words out loud, to learn, to push the enemy away, to break down those barriers He has placed in our lives and in front of us and around us. Lord, to see that coming crumbling down. and where your name becomes known more and more, and that your name be glorified and honored by so many more because of who you are, because what you're doing and what you have done and what you will do. So, Father, empower us, guide us, help us to stand firm in the faith, and give us that passion for your word and prayer and for people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all those people say, amen.